Eso es la punta.
Amen. All right, let's turn our Bible to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Now I'm going to read this scripture this morning and give you a thought the Lord's put on my heart for today. It seems like the more God does for people, the less they appreciate it. America has been blessed more than any nation ever been on this earth. And yet we are the most unthankful, unappreciative nation in the world. Have you ever heard parents say this? The better I am to that kid, the meaner they get. Boy, that's just like us. And that seems to be true. And I have even witnessed to people. Some of our boys over in Asheville, over to that Bell Share thing one day, witnessing to people. This guy, they witnessed this guy, and this guy said, he ain't never done nothing for me. He said, when I see God, I'm going to go up there and jerk him off his throne and choke him. That's what he said. It'd take a fool to say something like that. When he sees God, he'll fall on his face. But our attitude is, he ain't done nothing for me. We go out and witness and we say, boy, the Lord's been good to you. Well, he ain't never done nothing for me. I've worked for this. I've done this and I've done that. So I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on what has God done for you? What has he done for you? If I told you everything God done for you, we'd be here till tomorrow evening just getting started. But yet it seems like we have this attitude of, Lord, he don't care nothing about me. He ain't blessing me. Look here what he said here in Psalm 126. For time's sake, I'll not read the whole psalm. You know this psalm. I've used it before. But look at verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? I heard a preacher talking about the other day, and he's talking about leaving your first love. And I guess a preacher ought to preach on that once in a while. And human nature is like that. When we first get something, we love it. You first, like in your marriage or your relationships, you fall in love, and people say, well, we was in love for a few years, then we fell out of love. You have to work on it or return to your first love. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we keep our first love? In everything. When you get a new car, you know how it is. You get a new car, you are so excited about it. You can't hardly sleep the night before thinking you're going to get that car. Next day, you get it, drive it home. What do you say when you come in? All right, kids, nobody's eating in this car. Ain't that what you say? Don't you start bringing that candy and Pepsi's in this car. We're not eating in this car. Boy, you wash that thing. You shine it up. You do that, you know, for a week or two. Next thing you know, you got your cup of coffee. And next thing you know, you're in a hurry and you run through McDonald's in the drive-thru. You ever got anybody's car and it smells like French fries? That's a sickening smell, I think. Beer smells better almost than French fries rotted in the carpet. You think, you know, after you got that car 6 months, you go out the door and get in it and don't even look at it. You're just thinking about getting to work. You don't look at the wood grain. You don't look at the tires. It wears off on us. Human nature's like that. And same way in your relationship. Hear about that old guy, his wife, they'd been married several years, and she looked at him and she said, no, honey, when we first got married, you said you could eat me. And he said, well, I done lost my appetite. And that's what happened after a few years. It seems to wear off. The old man and woman driving down the road, and she's sitting way over there looking out the window, and he's just driving like this. And about that time, a little sports car goes around and boom, like that. And there's a guy in there, and he's got his arm around his girlfriend, and boy, they're laughing and hugging. And she looked at him and said, I remember me and you used to sit like that. And he says, well, I didn't move. And just keeps on driving. You the one that scooted over.
And some of you sitting here this morning, you're like that. You look at people enjoying the Lord and shouting and stuff and saying, man, I remember when me and the Lord was like that. And the Lord said, I ain't gone nowhere. I ain't moving. God's right where He's always been. God's just as real and as exciting this morning as He was the night you got saved. He's just as real as He was when you was on the mountaintop. He hadn't moved, we moved. Amen? I had one guy read one day, turn this down just a hair, Brother Mike. Said, guy walks up to his wife and he says, darling, whisper those three words that make me feel like I'm in midair. She said, catch a plane. That's the way it is after you've been married a while. That's the way it is after you've been there a while. And that's the way we get. And we don't appreciate what God's done for us a lot of time. So this morning I'm going to talk about it just a little bit. And I'm going to say a few things. All you kids listen to me. Everybody listen to me. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? Somebody smack that. I can say that. That's not a real baby. I can say smack it in the head. They make them girls take them things home from school and they have to babysit it for a week. Smack it. Throw it in the dumpster. But anyway, we ought to thank God for several things this morning. And the first thing we ought to thank God for is our family. First thing we ought to thank God for is our family. First thing we ought to thank God for, ain't that a speaker you can unplug or something? There's a nurse, take it to the nurse. That's what you do with a real baby. Amen. All right. Rocking it. It don't know you're rocking it. It's a piece of plastic. Do they know it? They got a computer. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. They do that so young girls won't get pregnant. But it ain't working too good, is it? He's like, I love it. It's like that blonde. You find out what that blonde said when she found out she was pregnant? She said, I wonder if it's mine. If for that dumb, they don't need to be having no electronic baby or a real baby. I was going to preach a sermon today on how good God's been to us. For giving me a family. The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us in giving us a family. We don't appreciate what God's done for us. Like the old hippie, he told his girlfriend, he said, now listen. He said, I'll go pick up my unemployment check. I'll go by the college to get my federal grant for my education. After that, you go by and pick up our food stamps. You go to the free clinic and have yourself checked, you know, for diseases. Pick up my new glasses at the health center. Then go to the welfare and apply for us an increase. And then as soon as that, I'll meet you at 5 o'clock down at the federal building to protest against our rotten establishment. That's America, brother. That's America. How thankful we ought to be that God has given us a family. Thank God for our family. All three of my girls are here this morning. My mom's sitting back there this morning. I have cousins and aunts and my sister and in-laws and things like that. And I thank God that He's given me a family. When it comes right down to it, your family is all you've got in this world. Tangible, that you can see, that you can touch. If God's give you a family, you ought to thank God for it. You think God don't care about your family? He sure does. I know a boy that used to, I don't know if he still does, used to work in these juvenile centers. He went and talked to a boy at a juvenile center about 17 years old. When that boy got out of that juvenile center, he got home and his parents had moved away. Didn't even know where they was. Didn't even tell him. 17, 18 years old. I heard of these kids being caught by these Satanists. And they'd take these little boys and girls and they'd go to these schools and lure them into a van with candy or something like that. And they'd say, don't you want to go ride around with me? Sometimes a little kid would say, yeah. They would take them and put them in these satanic cults and rituals. And you're kidding yourself if you say stuff like that don't exist and go on. They're even training our policemen now on how to recognize signs of satanic cults and things that are going right here and around here in our area. And they take these little boys and girls and subject them to all kinds of perversion and wickedness, almost ungodly things you can even imagine. And then they tell them, they said, now while you was asleep last night, they said, we done a little surgery on you. See, look your belly, it's got a mark on it. They put a mark on it with a magic marker. See where we cut you? And the kid said, yeah. They said, now we put a dog inside of you, a mean black dog. And they said, if you ever tell anybody what's happened to you here, that dog will claw and eat you from the inside. And when that kid goes home or wherever they wind up getting released or whatever, when they start to tell, they get real nervous inside and their stomach starts hurting. And they think that dog is beginning to eat them from the inside. A girl came to me one day. She's about 13 or 14. She said, preacher, can I talk to you? Right after our youth rally. And I said, yes, ma'am. And there was a crowd of people around standing there. We kind of walked over here to the side. She said, Brother Danny, she said, her cousins, stepbrothers, something moved in with her. She said, Brother Danny, my stepbrother has been abusing me since I was 5. I said, where's your mama? She said, mama works third shift. She said, after mama goes to work at night, my daddy and my uncle get drunk. And she said, they get drunk. I go to sleep in my bedroom. And she said, the boys come in my room. And she said, finally he moved out and his younger brother started. She said, I put the dresser. She said, I scooped my dresser in front of my door, my bedroom door, trying to keep them out. And they're strong. And they told me if I ever told anybody that they would kill me or something bad would happen to me. Now you think of the kids that are living like that in our nation today. You think of the little boys and girls. I mean, it'll turn your stomach if you think about what's going on in this nation. They raided a child pornography ring out in Dallas, Texas, somewhere in the Dallas area. They said them policemen would sit down out on the front steps and cry like babies. One policeman said, I've never had nothing affect me like that. The youngest child taken from that pornography ring was 18 months old. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You hear me, and you hear me real good. You listen to me? You ain't nothing special, and I'm not either. God has really blessed us by letting us be born and have a family that loved us and took care of us. Listen, you teenagers sitting in here this morning saying, oh, mama this, mama making this, or mama, I tell you what you better do. You better get out on your knees and thank God you've got a mama that cares enough about you to make you come home at a certain time and makes you go to church and takes you to God's house and teaches you the Bible. Thank God you've got a family to live with you and for you. Amen? We ought to thank God for our family. You know, God's interested in family. God's interested in boys and girls. It's amazing. When we first started our bus ministry a few years ago, you know, we don't even own a church. We don't even own no property. Some preachers would say, boy, you're crazy. You need to save up money and buy some land, build you a nice church before you sue them. I don't believe that. I believe them boys and girls are more important than even us owning property. And when God supplies us, gives us some property, we'll take it. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something, bro. I told them, I said, listen, God's put us in the ministry to reach people. That's what the ministry's for, reaching people. And if the Lord blesses us with the building, fine. If He don't, we'll reach them in this building. They're important to God. We found those buses down there. They were $1,500 each. We said we could buy 4 of them for $6,000. I jumped up here one Sunday night and told about it. You could feel God's presence in this room. I'm telling you, in a few minutes, we had $4,500. One individual bought one. Somebody else said, I'll get $500. Somebody else, in just a few minutes, like that. I said, well, I want 4 of them things. I was coming down the road. And somebody called me and met this guy. He said, I need to talk to you. Don't even go to our church. And somebody told him about us getting those buses, and he wrote me a check for the other $1,500. I jumped up and I said, listen, that's the Lord getting us them buses because He cares about them little boys and girls out there in them trailer parks and out there in them apartments. Don't you doubt it. The other day, one of them told me, they said, Brother Danny, transmission's gone out on Brother Junior's bus. That would be... number one there, said the transmission's gone out. I've been sitting out there in the parking lot for a few weeks. They said it's gone. We looked and prayed, and I said, Lord, we didn't give a $1,500 for them buses. They said, we found the transmission, Brother Mike said, for $1,000. They said, if we can get it for $1,000. I said, man, we didn't give a $1,500 for the whole thing. Little transmission is worth, they said, $1,000. That's cheap as they could find one. And we had different people looking different places, and some of the guys willing to take it out and free labor and all that stuff. But they said, $1,000 for a transmission. Last Sunday morning, I come in, there's a letter laying on my desk. I read it last Sunday night. I wish all y'all that laid out on account of the
Clear Roads last Sunday night. Listen, I read it last Sunday night. And boy, I'll tell you something, brother, that letter said this. Dear Mr. Castle, said, my name is so-and-so from Rock Hill, South Carolina. He said, I listened to your radio program. He said, me and my wife are very, very blessed. He said, I don't know you, never met this man. He said, I want to order some tapes, 6 copies of the message I preached on A Nation Adrift. He said, another copy of something about the bus ministry. He said, will you send me these tapes? And in that letter, he said, I sent you a little offering here for your tape ministry. In there was a check for $1,000. Amen? I said, hallelujah. God looked down. He sees them little kids. He sees these right over here on this row. Don't you think God is not interested in boys and girls? He'll take care of us as long as we care about them. God loves our families. God wants our boys and girls to have a mama, have a daddy, have somebody to love them. And if they don't have a mom and daddy, a bus worker or a church that'll care about them. Well, our church said, man, them little kids will put boogers on the seat. Well, I'd rather have boogers than cobwebs like they got in most of their churches. I'm telling you this morning, brother, I thank God He let me be born in the country. I'm glad that He let me be born in the Bible Belt. He gave me a mama back there that's the best mama in the whole world who taught me about God when I was a little boy. I'm glad I grew up and got saved. I'm glad I found out what old-fashioned preaching and worship, and I'm glad I found out about the King James Bible and heaven and all the things that God, I'm telling you, He's done great things for me. And He's done great things for you. He's done great things for you. Don't you sit around and watch TV so much that you get spoiled and think God hadn't done nothing for you. He's give you a family. He's give you a family. Listen, if you're healthy this morning, I will say secondly, for giving us our health. For giving us our health. Thousands are in rehab. There's people in hospitals this morning that could write a check for $5 million. And they would if they could feel as good as you feel. You walk in here saying, well, poor old me. Listen, if you can walk, if you can think, if you can talk, you ought to thank God that He's given you your health. You don't realize how to appreciate your health until it's not there. You don't forget about how it feels good to feel good until you feel bad. Amen? Amen. You don't know how good feel good feels till you feel bad. Buddy, I tell you what, I feel good just about all the time, and I thank God for it. I've had my problems, and y'all know that, and I've had a lot of battles and burdens, and I've been through the ringer. But I tell you what, God's blessed me with good health, and that's something that a man ought to shout about every single day of his life. I can move my fingers. I can see the wall back there. I can see all of you. I can jump. I can do my own like that, you know. I mean, brother, I can fly. I can't fly. But I can move like I was flying. Amen. I can turn a flip. I can stand on my head. I thank God that He's given me my health. And if you're healthy this morning, if you can see, if you can think, if you can talk, if you can write, if you can read, you ought to thank God He's blessed you. Amen, brother. I said, what? Don't just lay around. Some kids in the world starving to death, and some of you couch potatoes here this morning living 2 zip codes. Amen. I tell you what, brother. You listen. God's been good to you. God's been good to you. God's been good to you. There's food on your table. There's shoes on your feet. Them shoes come from God. That food in your refrigerator come from the Lord. The Lord put it there. The Lord has blessed you. Listen. We ought to quit whining. We ought to quit belly aching. We ought to never complain. The last thing a Christian ought to do is complain. God's been good to us in giving us our health. Well, you talking about something to get you out of depression? Sit down and say, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. He hath done great things for us. You know what will get you depressed? Sit around and think, well, this ain't right, and well, that ain't right, and well, this didn't work. Well, there's a lot ain't right, but thank God there's a lot that is right. Quit looking at what the devil's doing and look at what God's doing. He's give you your health. Amen. I tell you what, boy, these kids nowadays, I'm telling you, they got to have a car. They got to have a cell phone. They got to have a $100 pair of tennis shoes. I mean, you know, a $100 pair of tennis shoes? I ain't getting no $100 no tennis shoes. I'm lucky to give 19 for dress shoes.
You know my alligator shoes? They're $19. They ain't real alligator. Amen. They're plastic. Amen. I might give a little more than that for them, but I ain't giving no $100 for no tennis shoes. No, sir, brother. Amen, brother. And they got to have them. My girl, and it's a different... these are pink, Daddy. These have red on them, Daddy. It's nowadays where the stripe in your shoe has to match your sweater. All kind of crazy stuff like that. Amen. I'll tell you what, brother. Our kids nowadays, they're like that little boy on that boat. And they said this little boy on a boat, they was traveling, you know, across the ocean. That little boy, they said he would... Anyway, I don't like it. Food ain't no good. Yeah. It's too hot. Too cold. When are we going to get there? I don't like this. I'm sick. I don't like this food. When are we going to get there? Finally, them sailors got tired of listening to it. So they ran over and grabbed that boy, him just a fighting like that, and took him and throwed him in the ocean. And buddy, he was screaming and hollering, going down, blah, 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 running like that. Finally, they throwed him that thing, pulled him in, said, now you going to shut your mouth. He went over and sat down and shut his mouth and never said another word the whole trip. And brother, that's what's going to happen to some of us. If some of us had it took away from us a day or two, brother, if we went in a hospital looking at that monitor and thinking we might die any second, I'm telling you what, listen, you thank God that you feel as good as you feel. I mean, I know somebody's got aches and pains, and my heart goes out to you, really. And I know my days are coming. You can't cheat it forever like I have. I mean, sooner or later, it's got to happen. But I'm thanking God this morning. I feel good. Mom tells me all the time, she said, Danny, you're not always going to be able to go like you go. And I said, that's right, but I'm going to go as long as I can, buddy. While I can, I'm going to. Because the day's going to come when you can't. And you ought to thank God for your health. That's why you ought to get out on Saturday and visit. That's why you ought to go knock on somebody's door while you're able. Because one day you'll be sitting in a rest home somewhere wishing you felt like it and willing to do it and can't do it. Thank God for our health. Amen. I heard about this boy in California. He was just handed his test paper. And there's a boy two seats back playing with a gun. He took to school. And this boy just got his test paper and was looking at it. And the gun went off and shot him in the back of the head and killed him just like that. Well, guess what, kids? That didn't happen to you. That didn't happen to you. Guess what? Nobody in here was in a terrible bad car wreck this week. I wonder why we have to almost get killed before people say, come in, you know, like you. Thank God that guy run me off road and everything, but the Lord had mercy on me, you know. And here we are in here with two good hands, two good feet, and we didn't even about get killed, and we ain't got nothing to thank God for. Why do we have to almost die before we'll appreciate what God's done for us? Somebody said, some fool run me off the road. Thank God he had mercy on me. Guess what? No fool didn't run me off the road. I had a safe trip all the way here this morning. Amen. Didn't have a wreck. Didn't have a blowout. Amen. Didn't have one. The other night I got stopped on the interstate for about 2 hours. We're tractoring. And I just stopped at Wendy's. Just stopped at Wendy's. Got me a cheeseburger, french fries, and a Frosty. And I stopped about 5 minutes. I was eating in the car. And going up the road, not a new car, obviously. Traffic stopped, and that thing had just happened. No ambulance, no car, nothing. I thought, boy, you know, the Lord might have had me stop there. You can just, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And sometimes it amazes me that how the Lord just pulls me this way, and I'm trying to go that way, and He's pulling me this way. And then I get over here and seen I would have fell in a hole if I'd have went that way. Amen. Thank God for our help. Thank God for His goodness. Thank God. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves this morning. God has been good to us. God has been good to us. We ought not to feed at the devil's slop trough while God's blessed us like He has. We ought to be thankful. We are the most unthankful generation that's ever been. I seen some boy yesterday. You know how they look? I don't know. I guess it's a boy. What it was. Mixture of something. Thinks he's Tarzan, walks like Jane, smells like Cheetah, you know. You know, one of them kind. I say, how are you today? I thought, son, you just don't know how thankful you ought to be what God's done for you. Amen. You just don't know how thankful you ought to be today for what God's done for you. And then I will say, thirdly, for all you that are saved, you ought to thank God that you're saved. What's God done for you? Saved your rotten soul from hell fire. That's what He's done. If you never have good health, if you don't have a family, if you wind up in
in prison and being tortured and tormented. Brother, he saved your soul from hell. That's enough to thank God for. You know what they're doing in India today? In India this morning, they're worshiping cows. You see all these pictures of people starving to death over there? And I hate to see pictures of people starving to death. But there's enough cows in India to build steak houses all over the place, and people eat steak. And they won't do it. You know why? Because they believe that cow is their grandma. They do. They reincarnate. You reincarnate and come back as a cow. If I lived there, I'd just say, heck with grandma, wouldn't you? I mean, carve her up, man. This is a survival of the fittest. But they believe rats are sacred in India. Now, you know what? You could have been born there. I could have been born there. We're nothing special. It ain't like, boy, here we are, the people of God. Listen, brother, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we could have been born in Africa somewhere this morning, grow up worshiping a rock or a stone, get AIDS and suffer and die and burn in hell forever and ever and ever. But God in His grace and God in His mercy saw fit to let you be born in North Carolina or wherever you're born around here, hear the gospel, come and repent and be saved. It's all of God. It wasn't you. You didn't do it. Thank God He's done great things for you. It ain't like you're a genius and you got it all figured out and God really got something. He didn't get nothing when He got you. A blob of sin, a bunch of failure. But thank God He's been good to us. He's been good to us. In Mexico this morning, they're walking up hills on broken glass on their hands and knees, hoping that God will look and see them and think they're good and take them to heaven. In other countries, they're worshiping animals and then die and go to hell. Most people in the world have never one time been in a church service like this. You know, I was thinking of that, and this is not part of the message. Mom and my aunt was over there the other day, and we was they had the news on. They was talking about the Michael Jackson scandal and the trial that's coming up. I guess already started, whatever, they're trying to find a jury. And, you know, they had a story on about Michael Jackson's childhood. And you look at Michael Jackson now and you think, boy, sorry, good for nothing, pervert, he ought to be. You know, and we all judge, everybody has a judgment to put on him and stuff like that. But you know what? Michael Jackson, mama was a strict Jehovah's Witness. That means all he knows about God or the Bible or anything was from a Jehovah's Witness point of view. They're taught that there is no hell. They're taught that Jesus, of course, is not God in the flesh. That He's just a created being. A cult to the fullest extent of the word. That's all Michael Jackson is. Michael Jackson had never been to a youth rally and felt the power of God. Michael Jackson, as far as I know, has never maybe even heard a good, clear presentation of the gospel. Maybe he has by now. But you can imagine how the devil, and then his daddy pushed him into that dancing and singing when he was 4 years old, and then it just perverted the man's life. Or, I mean, he's pitiful. He's pitiful. He's pitiful. And I got to thinking, I ain't no better than him. I could have been born in Gary, Indiana, to a Jehovah Witness parent. I've been taught the wrong way all my life. I've been deceived by the devil and went to Hollywood or something and died and went to hell or been sent to prison. I ain't done nothing to deserve God's goodness to me. I don't deserve nothing. Not one blessing that God blessed me with. I ought to hang my head in shame when I stand up here in this pulpit. I don't deserve to stand behind the sacred desk and preach the Word of God and tell people about the greatest story ever told. But God has done great things for me. He's done great things for me. You ever wonder what He's done for you? I heard this story. Some of you preachers I know have heard this story, and there's variations of it, but it went something like this. Years ago, there's this man that worked for the train company. And there's a bridge, one of those draw bridges that went up over the river.
And his job was to sit there and whenever the train was coming through, lower the bridge. And of course it would go up when there wasn't no train. And so ships could pass through. And every day, several times a day, he would control the levers and the bridge would go down so the train could pass over. One day, they said that man, faithful to his job, been a good employer of the railroad company all his life, was sitting there getting ready to move those levers. And all of a sudden, he took his little boy with him to work that day. And his little boy would play and play. And his little boy was on the bridge. There was about 30 seconds. He got down and he screamed, "Hey, son, get out! No!" And the little boy couldn't hear him. The train was coming down the track. If he moved them levers, his boy would crash into the water. If he didn't, hundreds of people on the train would crash and go into the water. There was hundreds of people sitting on that train, laughing, cutting up, playing cards, drinking whiskey. And that man had to make the hardest decision they ever made in his life. And they said, as that thing kept going out, he screamed, "Son! Son! I don't want you to die! I don't want you to die!" For a minute he thought, "Well, I'll save my boy and let all them people die."
Come on now.
But in his mind, he's thinking, one person, all them, and one person and all them, and I don't want to be selfish. And at the last minute, the train come down there. He shoved the lever and the bridge came down. His little boy went into the water. And as the train passed, within there, he saw the people laughing and cutting up and talking. They didn't even know that he gave his son.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I heard that story and I thought, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
All out here this morning, they're laughing.
That's right.
They're cutting up. And the only reason they ain't in hell right
yeah.
now is because God gave his
yeah.
son.
Yeah.
God gave his son. We don't appreciate it. We don't thank God for it. Listen, brother, every person in this room this morning, you hear me. You listen to me. Listen to me. You'll burn in hell if it wasn't for God giving his son.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to be thankful for. We ought to be shown shouting grounds this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He gave his son. He gave his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm telling you this morning, we ought to thank God for it. Can you imagine being there in hell like millions are right now? Never, 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 never able to get out. No deliverance, no chance, no hope. No fire department going to come get you out. Nobody got a hospital down there to soothe your burns and wounds. Forever. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Let's stand by our heads of prayer. Ever head back?